Chapter 11.
The New Haveners burst into a cacophony of arguments and scared exclamations at the news of the Nightmare Hounds. Chaos ensued, and no matter how loud I shouted, no one paid me any heed, so I decided to wait for the noise to die down a little. The sun was still high in the sky overhead, but I could only see a small fraction of the rainbow hues through the opening in the top of the hollowed-out mountain peak. My stomach growled, but I ignored my body's request to return to the feast I'd neglected, and I turned my attention back to the animal people crowded around me.
"Everyone shut it!"
Miss Maggie was red in the face as she waved her arms and bellowed for silence, and after a few disgruntled murmurs were cast in her direction, the noise quieted. Some paid the intimidating pig chef heed, but most continued their chatter, and I watched as the sow hybrid lost her temper, and her last bit of patience snapped like a dry twig.
"Listen to the dreamer!"
Miss Maggie shouted over the heads of the New Haveners, and she shot a glare in the direction of those who had yet to quiet down.
"Alex knows what to do!"
I didn't, but I appreciated her faith in me nonetheless. "Thank you, Miss Maggie," I said in an equally loud voice. "We can't do anything if we panic. First we must be calm, and then we can plan our next moves."
"Can you kill the Nightmare Hounds or not?"
an unidentified voice from the crowd asked.
"I'm not leaving these caves if all the land is not safe."
There were calls of agreement from the other animal people, and I could tell they were dissolving back into micro-arguments, so I waved my hands over my head to get everyone's attention. "As far as I know, I'm just as vulnerable to the Nightmare Hounds as the rest of you," I said in a clear voice that hid the fear pounding in my chest. "The prophecy mentions being able to defeat them, but I don't know how."
But...
I recognized Shelley's voice as she pushed her way to the front of the crowd.
"You're the dreamer."
"So?" I crossed my arms over my chest and leveled her with a calm stare. "Am I supposed to be immortal?"
"Well, no,"
Shelley said, and a confused frown creased her eyebrows.
"Stay with us, dreamer,"
a voice among the New Haveners requested in an urgent tone.
"Don't leave us while we're most vulnerable."
"We aren't that vulnerable," I said, as I searched for the speaker among the faces of the animal people surrounding me. "We've been training with May every day, patrolling the mountains, and even sending scouts out to have eyes and ears everywhere." The voices seemed mollified by my words, but I wasn't finished. I needed them to be confident and self-assured in their own righteousness before I left on any more quests, and it seemed as though something was always pulling me away. If it wasn't the clover cards, it was Nightmare Hounds, but we were still safe from the nose of the shadow beasts. I wasn't sure how long our security would last against such powerful sniffers, but giving them less fear to sniff out was my top priority. "I am a stranger to all the land," I reminded my followers, as I swept my gaze over the plethora of fearful faces. "I'm new to your ways, your fears, and the beasts that cause them. But that doesn't mean I won't do everything I can to protect you."
"You are but one man,"
Ida the Crow Woman pointed out with a sad shake of her head.
"Against a horde of Nightmare Hounds. I'd rather flee than stand my ground, and I wouldn't expect anything different from you."
"You should. But don't forget, I've gone into the very bowels of the Clover Queen's fortress to rescue prisoners of the Clover Queen, and I would do it again for anyone standing here." There were murmurs of agreement, but there were still voices expressing concern, so I knew I hadn't convinced all of them there was little to fear. I was afraid too, but there was no way I was going to show any of these people who counted on me. I had to be strong. I had to be the dreamer they all needed. May pushed her way to the front of the crowd, and she flashed me a proud smile as she took a place by my side in the center of the press of bodies. Una was a step behind her, and the cat girl slipped her left hand into my right as she took up a position on my other side. But I breathed easier with the two women next to me.
"You were the ones demanding Alex lead us,"
Una pointed out as she gave the crowd a hard look.
"And now you falter the moment he needs you most. Nightmare Hounds can smell your fear for miles,"
May added.
"It will do us no good to tremble when we should be mustering for the fight of our lives."
The crowd muttered to themselves, and everyone cast long glances at my companions as they thought over everything that had been said. But the atmosphere was much calmer than it had been. Shelley and the other animal people warriors stood in a clump, and their indecision and fear were written all over their faces. Outside the circle of New Haveners, Tu and his warriors watched in silence, but they gripped their spears as though readying for an attack. Our alliance with the mole people was still very fresh and new, so I didn't want to do anything to mess it up. But I was grateful for the older mole man's presence in the Hollow Mountain. His air of calmness bolstered me, and I took a deep breath before turning back to my people. What do we know about the Nightmare Hounds? I asked the group at large. Anything you know or remember will be a great help to me.
They are fast,
May contributed.
And deadly,
Isabel, the beaver woman, said.
They run on four legs like a sniffer snatcher,
Una added.
And they can smell fear for miles,
Shelley said. This is all great information, I said, and I grinned at the now unified looks of hope on the faces of my followers. But I need more. What happens to the land when the Nightmare Hounds pass by? Is it the same as with the nightmares?
The hounds leave a trail of black footprints in their wake,
Miss Maggie said, and she shuddered as her eyes were lost in a memory.
I've only ever seen one once, but that was more than enough for my tastes.
How did you escape? I pressed with one eyebrow arched in a questioning manner. Was this before or after the great turmoil?
Before,
Miss Maggie breathed, and tears welled up in her eyes.
We ran, the three of us, but my husband had to carry my daughter the remainder of the way back to the tunnel. Fortunately, we hadn't wandered far from the safety of Havenwood, but I swore the beasts spotted us.
The hounds are stronger, faster, and have keener senses than the cloaked bastards roaming around.
May interjected, and she patted the pig lady awkwardly on the shoulder.
You were lucky to escape alive.
It doesn't sound like they have any weaknesses, I pointed out in a crestfallen tone. I'd hoped there was something I could use to my advantage.
There are not many advantages allowed to the rebels in all the land. Many gave up hope long before you arrived in our world, Alex.
Does it say anything in the prophecy about how to kill the shadows? I asked in a less than hopeful tone. Or does it just command them to despair?
The secrets of your power are yours alone,
May said, with a shake of her head.
It is not for us to decide what you can and cannot do.
A little direction would be nice, though. It's not like I'd survive a trial-and-error type thing.
Very solid point of argument, Alex. If you misplace your sword, it could very well be the end of your life. And none of us want that. What would we do without you, Dreamer?
Someone from the crowd wailed, and this sparked a new tirade of arguments and cries of despair from the gathered New Haveners.
We cannot go on without you! The Clovers will find us! Oh, the Dark King will win!
Guys! I shouted as I shot a glare in the direction of the last statement, and the Squirrel Woman withered beneath my gaze. The Dark King will not win! Not as long as I'm alive, and I'm in no rush to get myself killed. Now, all of you need to find something better to do unless you have some information that might actually help me. There were some grumbles and muttered arguments, but nothing audible, so I merely stared down at the crowd until they began to disperse. Miss Maggie, Dr. Kriya, May, and Una remained around me, but I waited until the rest of the New Haveners left the area before I continued the discussion with my closest advisors. Why let the dogs out now? I questioned no one in particular, and I scratched the stubble on my jaw thoughtfully as the song, Who Let the Dogs Out, played in my head. We'd invaded the Clover Fortress and stolen back some prisoners, but had that really been enough to warrant the dispatch of stronger forces? My companion's faces held no answers for me, but Dr. Kriya worked the muscle in her jaw as her brown eyes narrowed in thought. Maybe she was onto something. What's up, Doc? I pressed in a probing voice. Something on your mind?
The hounds are good at tracking prey,
the doctor mused in a thoughtful tone.
So it serves to reason that they were sent to find something. Or someone. Livia!
Una gasped, and the realization struck us all at once. The Nightmare Hounds were searching for the potion maker, who was here in New Haven with all the rest of the vulnerable people who counted on me to keep them safe. That was exactly what I was going to do, too, just as soon as I figured out how to defeat a nightmare. We can't let them find her, I said in a deadly calm voice. No matter what, we worked too hard to free her once, and I won't go backward.
We would never give up one of our own,
Dr. Kriya gasped, and her expression showed she'd taken some kind of offense to my words.
I would rather die at the claws of the Shadow Beast than to surrender my wards to the darkness.
No one is surrendering anything, I assured her, and the mouse-eared doctor let out a shallow breath. We were all getting worked up, but the fear radiating off of everyone would be enough to attract a regular nightmare, let alone a beast with better senses. So I had to do something to raise the confidence level around the village. Before I could even open my mouth to ask my advisors for suggestions, Two and his warriors crossed the distance to us, and the mole warriors stamped their spears in the dirt as they came to a unified halt. While I was envious of their training and discipline, I needed more than a few mole people at my back. I needed an army. I'm sorry for the shortness of our peace feast, I said with a dip of my head toward the older mole man. Unfortunately, a leader's job is never done.
Not when the minions of darkness draw ever near,
Tu agreed, and he nodded his head sagely. This could be the perfect time for Amon and your warriors to prove they mean what they say, I pointed out. I could use all the extra warriors Amon can send.
I will send a runner requesting a strong presence of warriors in New Haven,
Tu nodded.
But how will your people feel about their caves being full of mole people?
I think we'll be okay. There is safety in numbers, and everyone knows we are allies now, so they would have little reason to be afraid.
Fear rarely stems from reason, the older mole man replied. But I will do as you say. My warriors and I will remain here until you feel your village is safe, so if you have any use for us, do not hesitate to command.
Thanks, I breathed, and my shoulders slumped with relief. That is one less burden for me to bear. I turned a scrutinizing glance around the cavernous interior of the hollow mountain, and several bird women circled in the air above our heads, no doubt listening. Everyone was still on edge despite my encouraging words. Then I nodded to the women standing around me, and I cleared my throat before I began issuing my commands. We double the scouts, I ordered. Send them ranging further than before, but keep a close eye on the Sunrise Mountains. Double the guards at the entrance to the caves as well, and make sure everyone in the village trains in combat of some kind each day. We have no more room for anyone who can't defend themselves. Dr. Kriya inhaled sharply at this, and I waved a hand in her direction. Except for the patients, of course, but even people like Zeedee can help in some way. It's time to get all hands on deck.
Yes, Streamer,
the four women said in unison, but it lacked its usual muster. Still, they went to follow through on my orders, and I was left alone with Tu and his mole warriors. The feast table was still laid out and covered in food, so I gestured to the pillows encircling the surface. Want to finish eating while we talk about defense strategies?
Thank you, Dreamer,
Tu grunted in response, and he muttered something to his warriors before they all returned to their seats around the table. I finished eating, but I had to practically force the food down my own throat, and my mind was far from the table before me. I went through all the training May had provided me with, and I analyzed the weaknesses and strengths of our defenses while I ate half-heartedly. The mole warriors dug in, and to their credit, they even tried some of the surface-dweller food remaining on silver platters. I envied them for their discipline and calm demeanors. But I'd eventually have an army that put Amon's forces to shame. I wouldn't stop recruiting until I had the strongest army in all the land, and then I would take the fight straight to the Dark King himself.
Your thoughts appear to be dark, Dreamer,
Tu observed, as an insect's antenna wiggled out of the corner of his mouth.
Can I offer a listening ear?
I was just thinking about how I wished I had more warriors like you guys, I admitted, and I raked a hand through my hair with a sigh. My people have the heart, but they're all just more used to taking care of a home than killing clover cards, let alone nightmare hounds. Everyone in New Haven is scared shitless, but your men are calm as a sunny day. How do you do it? The older mole man considered my words as he chewed on his bug, and he seemed to be thinking over his response very carefully. His warriors were oblivious to the exchange between us, and all of them seemed content to pick through the remainders of the feast.
It takes time to hone our skills of self-discipline, Tu
finally answered.
But your people are not helpless. They have some fight in them yet. Just you wait and see.
Oh, I don't doubt that, but their fear gets the best of them more often than not. I picked at the last of the food on my plate, and I used my fork to sweep it from one side of the dish to the other, but I didn't bother placing any more pieces into my mouth. My stomach rolled and twisted as I thought about how outnumbered and outgunned I was. But I was careful not to give away my thoughts with my face. With the mole people's help, I could expand our defenses, and maybe that would put my mind, and stomach, at ease. There was only one way to find out, though, and it wasn't by sitting around a table, so I pushed my chair back. I'm going to look at the town defenses and see if there's any room for improvement, I informed Tu and the mole warriors. I'll send Miss Maggie over once she has places for you guys to stay.
There is no need to give us accommodations,
Tu said with a shake of his head.
We will dig burrows into the ground inside your mountain. If there is a way out from underneath, we will find it and connect our two territories together.
I like that idea, I agreed, and I flashed the older mole man a grin before I trotted over to where Miss Maggie stood next to the bonfire. As usual, the bulky pig lady's face was dappled with sweat from constant exposure to the heat of the fire, but she swiped a hand across her forehead and gave me a tight-lipped smile.
Despite your words, people are still scared. Some might end up doing something desperate if pushed too far.
Noted. I dipped my head to acknowledge her warning. Let's not let it get to that.
I am at your command, Dreamer.
Start by following up on my orders to recruit everyone, and I mean everyone, into May's daily training. Not only will it help with their self-confidence, but we will have more warriors as a result.
Got it.
Ms. Maggie nodded.
Anything else?
Don't forget to have anyone who can fly added to the list of scouts and watchers. I continued, and I started toward the entrance as I spoke. I'm off to check our defenses to see if I can improve any of them.
Ask the mole people how they keep their territory safe. They seemed good enough at keeping most of the people out, before you fell into their hole, that is.
I'm off to see what else I can do.
You might want to stop by the medical pavilion and reassure Dr. Creer her patients are not your next recruits.
Ms. Maggie said as I departed.
She seemed convinced her wards were no longer safe here in New Haven.
I'll get everything straightened out, I promised, and I waved my hand over my head in farewell. My next stop was at the entrance to the cavernous Hollow Mountain, and I easily spotted Grug lounging in the front opening as soon as I entered the tunnel. The giant man looked dejected, and he sighed heavily when he noticed my approach.
I can't fit inside that tiny hole,
the massive man complained.
I heard yelling and such, but no one will tell me what is going on.
Some of our scouts spotted nightmare hounds, I said without preamble. Grug deserved to know what was happening.
The hounds are worse than those cloaked bastards,
Grug said, as his eyes widened.
What are you going to do about them?
I'm not sure yet. For now, I will do my best to keep all my followers safe. That includes you now, by the way, so don't think you're going to be left out in the cold while the rest of us are safe behind our defenses. I'll keep you safe, even if we have to widen out the tunnel.
You would do that for me, Dreamer?
Grug's giant eyes began to water. I would do it for anyone who calls me that name, I answered.
And I'll do anything that you tell me to do,
the giant man replied with a bob of his head.
You stuck your neck out for me, so it's the least I could do.
I'm glad you're here, Grug, I said in total sincerity. I can't be the only big guy around here.
Thanks for letting me make my amends to the mole people,
the big man added with a sheepish half-smile.
I'd probably have started a war with them if left to my own devices.
You're not wrong there, but I may still need your strong arms in a fight soon enough. So don't get used to the idea of getting smaller just yet, I grinned. But I will eventually cure you, I can promise you that. I left Grug in better spirits than I'd found him in, and I continued on outside of the caves, but it didn't take me long to run into another watcher. To my surprise, Lena stood on a large boulder, scanning the horizon with a paw held over her eyes. But it took the sloth lady a few moments to notice my arrival. Not the greatest scout I'd ever seen, but she was right next to the opening cavern where Grug lounged, so if anything got this far, she was still safe. How goes it? I asked in a loud voice that caused her to startle.
Oh, Dreamer!
Lena gasped.
I didn't see you there.
You need to keep your eyes close as well as far away, I instructed in a hard voice. I didn't like being strict with the sweet sloth woman, but it could mean the difference between a lot of lives lost or not. But I'm not here to correct your work. I'm looking for ways to increase our defenses.
What do you mean?
Lena asked in a surprisingly fast voice. I've seen lots of different things in movies and video games. Booby traps and bombs. I don't think we have a lot of the things I'm familiar with, but we can adjust some of them to our use. I don't know. I'm still brainstorming.
I hear the mole people stay hidden from sight with tunnels,
Lena said at a staggered pace, but her eyes were lit up with excitement.
Much the same as our caves.
They do, I confirmed with a grin. But the caves weren't foolproof since a bunch of us fell into them and had to invade their territory a little.
We could make places to cave in at,
Lena suggested with a bright smile.
Holes to trap our enemies.
Good idea. I returned her happy expression as the idea took hold. We could dig pits, fill them with sharpened spiky logs, just like in the dungeon crawl video games I'd played countless times, and then cover the holes with debris to mask its location. As I remembered the pit trap, other video game booby traps came to mind, and I analyzed the entrance to the caves with fresh eyes. We can string tripwires that unload nets full of rocks, I said, and I spoke faster and faster as the idea picked up steam. Some could even snag our enemies by the feet to hang them in the air. We could make the entire mountain a trap, and no one and nothing would be able to get within a mile of our home.
That sounds like a wonderful idea, Dreamer,
Lena breathed in a rush. The sloth woman had drunk a fast potion long before my arrival in all the land, but she'd been slowly healing from the opposition effects since the day we'd met. Her speech had increased in pace, and while still slow, it was double the rate of the first word she'd spoken to me. Now that I had a plan, some of my fear began to ebb, replaced by confidence. We'd upgrade New Haven until it was safe as we could make it, and once I knew my people were taken care of, I could set my sights on some more offensive strategies. I spent the next several days bolstering the defenses and confidence of New Haven's residents. Every treehouse got its own set of secret entrances, and pathways from tree to tree were created in a similar fashion as the old town of Havenwood. The mole warriors even managed to dig a secret exit from our hollow mountain village to the vast network of corridors in their own territory. The handy diggers also assisted in the creation of pit traps, and soon the ground around New Haven was riddled with dangers. I took the scouts out for hours each morning to memorize the layout, and after a few days, the slowest of the animal people could dart and dash through the maze like a pro. My followers and I also created tripwires that performed various functions, from dropping a net full of heavy rocks onto the target to slinging a log straight at the wire, and, of course, there were also loop traps where the enemy would be bound by the feet if they stepped on the trigger. I included more and more of the residents of New Haven in the combat and scouting training sessions taught by me and May, and after 2 days, the ranks of my fighters had swollen to near 50. There were too many for us to teach in a single day, so we began to break our sessions down into classes.
They are already showing progress,
May noted on a sunny afternoon, several days after the Nightmare Hounds were first spotted in all the land.
But they are still nowhere close to being ready to face their worst fears. Some still cower before me and Una when we are full of your magic seed.
Yeah, we need to be a little more quiet about the magic seed stuff, I said under my breath. I don't want to have the entire village banging on my door at all hours of the day and night.
Oh, you do not,
May chuckled as she flashed me a flirtatious smile.
I would have guessed from your voracious appetite that you would be eager to please every member of New Haven.
I'm only one man, I shook my head. Besides, I like giving my attention to you and Una. Until someone as special as you two wonderful women comes along, then I'm more than happy to keep things the way they are.
I consider myself fortunate to be one of your chosen mates,
May purred as she rubbed up against me. It was hard to deny the instant reaction in my loins. But at that moment, I was more worried about the state of the village's defenses and forces than I was in making love. Anyway, you said you don't think they're ready yet? I returned to the topic at hand as I jerked my chin toward the trainees going through their motions.
Most have only been at it for 2 full days,
May reminded me, and the dodo woman tisked when she scanned over the trainees' forms.
Many would be mowed over like a cowtane eating grass.
Cowtane? I hope that's something like a cow.
What is a cow?
May countered with a curious tilt of her head. Animal with 4 legs that eats grass? I shrugged. I never imagined I'd have to explain something as simple as a cow or a cat to anyone, but all the land is unlike anything I've known before.
Of course,
May nodded sagely.
Otherwise, it would just be like somewhere else, and it wouldn't be all the land.
We need more warriors. There have to be more animal people in all the land who want to stand against the Dark King.
Oh, all the land is full of rebels hidden right beneath the surface.
May pulled out her pipe, stuffed it with dried leaves, and lit it with a match.
I can take you to some, but not to all. I am favored by bird folk above all, but you remember I have a friend among the trees.
Yes, that is sort of helpful. I grinned. We can always use more bird scouts. Can you send messages to any of them, or do we have to go see them in person?
A visit from the Dreamer would go far to gaining their agreement to our cause,
May said, with a thoughtful puff on her pipe.
We should go on a quest to find you an army. I'm sure we will return with mustered forces.
Alex!
Una called out as she broke from the formation and trotted across the distance to us.
I couldn't help but overhear.
I'd shared my bed with Una the night before, and her senses were heightened since I'd filled her womb with my seed. But I still wasn't convinced it was anything more than coincidence. Oh?
You must remember that everything in all the land could be a people,
Una said with an overzealous grin.
You could talk to the mushroom people, the tree people, the—
That all sounds great, I interrupted the eager cat girl. But we need people who can hold weapons and charge into battle against clover cards.
We will find them. Together.
I don't think we should take a large group. Most of our forces should remain in New Haven to guard the village.
What about the two of us and Grug?
May suggested, with one arched eyebrow.
Having a giant on your side will really nudge the vote in your direction.
Plus, it will get him out and about, I mused, as I thought over her idea. I am hesitant to take both of you away from the trainees, though.
We go with you,
May argued, with an adamant shake of her head.
You're not getting away from me that easily, Alex,
Una cackled, and she wrapped her arms around me before she decorated my face with kisses. The frisky feline hybrid was always more feisty when she was full of my seed, and I chuckled with amusement while I accepted the onslaught of affection. All right, we'll all go together, the three of us and Grug. With that settled, I turned my attention to preparing for my new quest. I would explore the area of all the land south of the Clover Fortress and east of the canyon until I'd combed through every possible recruit. I wouldn't be back to New Haven for a while, so I made sure to double-check every defense system before we left. There hadn't been any more Nightmare Hound sightings either, so I could only hope that our luck didn't run out anytime soon. The last thing on my to-do list was to discuss the quest with Grug, but I didn't want to make him feel anxious before I was ready to go, so I saved it as a last-minute surprise. I just hoped Una and May hadn't let the information slip by accident, but I had sworn them to secrecy, so I had faith. The giant man lounged in his usual position in the front cavern of the mountain, and he shuffled to an upright position when he noticed my approach. His long, shaggy hair had been recently combed, and his tunic was the cleanest I'd seen it since the day we'd first met. But there was still despair clinging to the shadows in his eyes. "Grug, buddy, I have an offer for you," I greeted with a wide smile. "I will be leaving on a quest soon, and I want you to come with me."
"What about the mole people's territory?"
Grug knitted his eyebrows together in concern.
"I don't want to do any more damage than I already have."
"We'll keep to the far north, and circle around where I know their tunnels are."
"You really want me to go with you?"
A light returned to Grug's eyes, and he shook off years of despair in a single instant. "I need someone who can travel fast to carry us. You're very useful, Grug, just the way you are."
"I'm a monster,"
the big man argued with a shake of his head that caused a breeze to pull at my clothes. "Not to me," I assured my new ally. "I don't think I could complete my quest without your help. In fact, everyone in New Haven is depending on you and me to get an army to keep them safe."
"All right,"
Grug grunted, and he straightened his shoulders ever so slightly. But the change in his entire demeanor was striking. Gone was the despondent pout, and instead his face was lit up with excitement.
"What do I need to do?"
"Pack up any belongings you want to take with us," I instructed, and I planted my hands on my hips as I gave him a hard look. "And don't take any food that isn't given to you. We can forage along the way, but the people here won't be able to hunt in my absence."
"Yes, Dreamer."
Grug dipped his head in obedience, and he cast his eyes to the dirt at my feet in a respectful manner. "We'll leave tomorrow morning," I said, and I reached up to pat the giant man on the arm. "Glad to have you on board." I spent the night in May's pillow nest, and the dodo woman danced for me before draining me completely. I still had a hard time falling asleep as my worries for the people of New Haven crept into the edges of my half-awake thoughts. But I got a few hours of rest before the hollow opening began to lighten. May stirred beside me the instant I pushed myself up on my elbows, and we exchanged a good morning kiss before we got dressed in our traveling gear. Una met us by the bonfire, and she looked eager for an adventure with a pack slung across her shoulders. Her tail swayed excitedly from side to side, and her ears twitched around at every noise. The three of us snuck out without saying a word, since we'd already said our goodbyes the night before. But I had to nudge Grug awake when we came to the front cavern. Then we were off, and the entrance to New Haven quickly disappeared behind us as we wove our way through the maze of traps. I cast one last glance at the place I now considered to be my home before I turned my attention to the task ahead. When I came back, I'd have an army behind me. Or I wasn't worthy to be the Dreamer.